Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. All right, everyone, we are back this week for another awesome interview. I'm so excited for you guys to meet Leslie. Leslie Logan is our guest today. She's another one of my friends from Brand Builders Group. We also connected at the She Who Wins Summit last April in Connecticut. So Leslie is the founder of onlinepilatesclasses.com and also profitablepilates.com. She also has her own podcast. She's the host of Be It Till You See It. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Oh my gosh, Whitney, it's so exciting to see your face.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you on, and I'm so excited. I mean, I know a little bit about your journey, but even in the little ounce you told me, I'm like, we need to record this. Like, this is, people need to hear this story of, you know, your whole journey. So tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I love sharing this because I think what hopefully it gives people is like, here's what I'm doing in the Pilates industry. You can just like do it for yourself, whatever industry you're in. Like you can actually make this happen. So it's a wild journey. And it really does start with back in 2005, I graduated from college. I was working in retail and I actually didn't have a lot of friends anymore because all of my friends, I went to a Christian university, they all got married. And so here I was single. I was determined to not get married in college. I was like, no, this is a very expensive degree, so I'm going to get through it. So I wanted to make a friend, and this girl who worked with me invited me to a Pilates class and I made fun of it. I said, this is like infomercial workout, can't do what it says it does, not going. But I wanted a friend, so I went with her to this class, and it was amazing. I felt parts of my body I never felt before, and as an athlete and as someone who worked out and someone who is a personal, like could be a personal trainer if I wanted to, I was kind of shocked, but I felt these muscles that I never felt before. And so I switched everyone's schedule at the store so I could go every single day. And what happened is as I kept going, I became more and more connected to myself. I started to realize that I just wasn't happy. That's why I didn't have any friends where I was living. I wasn't happy there. So I transferred stores, lived in LA, and this Pilates teacher suggested I become a teacher, which it's really funny how like you don't think about something being a possibility until like some random person just suggests it. Do you know what I mean? Like we get in these boxes.
And we can't see what other people are seeing so clearly.
No, you cannot. So I was like, really? You think I could do this? I mean, I look back and go, of course. Like I look back at that Leslie, I'm like, why did I think I couldn't just switch my... options. So thankfully she was in my life for that season and that reason. And I became a Pilates instructor and I got so busy teaching on my off time, my time I wasn't working in retail, that I had to make a choice. And this was in 2008 when people were canceling their cable, canceling their water deliveries, like really pinching back of the money. But I was getting so busy teaching that I had to make the decision. Do I leave this salary job with healthcare and vacation time and go into this Pilates thing? And thankfully I did. And retail did its own journey. And I'm glad I jumped when I did. And what ended up happening is just little people along the way noticing skill sets that I have that I didn't see because you can't read the label from inside the bottle, and really helping me come onto this journey. One of those things was as a brand new teacher, my boss asked me how I'm converting so many first-time clients. So I took a moment to look at what other people were doing and what I was doing, and I made a workshop. And that workshop had me traveling around Southern California teaching people how to do what I was doing. That led to Profitable Pilates becoming a thing. And then, you know, little by little, the person that I trained from happened to be Joseph Pilates' clients. And the people were like, oh, I want to learn like he teaches. And that took me around the world. And because I was traveling so much, my husband was like, you have to do YouTube videos and you have to do an online classes platform because you keep leaving your clients. And I was so in fear. You guys, watch out what you're afraid of and watch out what questions people are asking you. Those are literally the places that you're supposed to be going. So I was so afraid of like what the comments might be, like, why should I do something? How would I be different than anybody else? And that fear and those questions I was asking myself led me to starting YouTube, getting really big on that, and also starting onlinepilatesclasses.com and offering these classes that people could take since I was traveling. So that's kind of how we got here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Even just like I had to digest that for a moment of what you said. Watch what you're afraid of. Mm-hmm. And watch what other people are asking you for or asking you consistently.
Yeah, because that they think you're an expert. If they're asking, if you keep getting asked like the same question, right? Like I'm sure you had this too, Whitney. Like people were probably asking you about different things in marketing, and like we don't often realize like what we're experts in, because what comes easy for us, we just think it comes easy for everybody, but it doesn't. And so the questions people were asking was like all had to do with the business side. And I didn't know anything about business and Pilates. Like no, there was no training. Let me just tell you, no one is training people how to do a business Pilates. They teach them how to teach Pilates. So I just had these natural skills and I didn't realize that. And so by being able to learn that that was a unique thing, and then I went in on that. And then the things that I was scared of what people might say about the videos I was creating. I was scared of copying other people. Like I didn't want to ever be accused of like just copying the other platforms that were out there. And so by taking those fears and really diving into it, it's how I created the content for YouTube and how I created OPC, which is onlinepilatesclasses.com. So instead of it being like a platform, like a Netflix where you can come on and stream anything, anytime, which is already, it was already in existence. So how would I be any different than that? Why would someone choose mine over theirs, right? So I was like, well, then I'm going to just take the class away every week. So then you have to show up. I'm going to hold you accountable. So we're still to this day, like the only platform out there that helps hold you accountable when it comes to online stuff. So really diving into that fear and like kind of figuring out like, what am I afraid of? And then how can I like make something that ditches that fear and goes in that direction. And then I still listen to those questions all the time, which is how come the podcast started. Cause people are like, how are you so confident? I'm like, I'm scared all the time.
Yeah, I get that too.
Until I see it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I get that too. People are always like, God, you're so confident. And I'm like, really? I wish you knew what was going on in my head. Yeah, I'm still like 6-year-old Whitney, you know what I mean? That's like, do I have a booger hanging out of my nose right now? Like,
but yes, I know. Understand.
And even my natural reaction was like, right now, just like sniffing to make sure there's nothing there.
Yeah, but I, you know, I love that you share that too, because I do think that people will look or listen to, you know, people on your podcast or you and just go, wow, they just have it all together. And it's like, ish.
Yeah. Some days, like I'm pretty human. And I hope that comes through in the podcast for people of just like, life is not perfect. No one's perfect. Nothing is perfect. Like you just have to keep going. You know, I think that's what separates people who are entrepreneurs. They're like, we're the people who just never quit going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You run into roadblocks and you just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, like, in all industries, there's always ebbs and flows, and there's times when like it's huge and there's times with like, it's hard. And, you know, and I think like anytime I hit a wall or I hit burnout, it was like just a sign of like, okay, this doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means that this isn't the way it's going to happen. And like, feel your feelings, give it a good cry, lay on the ground. Scream it out, and then like pick yourself up and like, can we turn right? Do we need to turn left? Do we need to do a U-turn? Like, where are we need to go here now?
Yeah. Yep. And not being afraid to just fully pivot. I think sometimes we get so far down the road in one direction. I mean, even in relationships, I'm totally freaking preaching to myself right now. Even in relationships, sometimes we say like, I've been with this person for X amount of years. I'm this far in, or you get a degree in something. And so you're like, I spent 6 years getting this degree. I have to see it through. No, actually you don't.
No.
You really like, you just need to give yourself permission to go a different direction or to drop something and try something new.
Yeah. I mean, I so understand that. The other day, my husband actually found out what my college degree was in.
What is it?
I have an interpersonal organizational business communications degree, which actually works with what I am sort of doing as a business coach. It didn't teach me to be a business coach anyway. It just taught like, how do you make sure that like inside a company communication works? And then how are you communicating the values of the company outward? But I didn't see that I was using that degree till recently, you know? So like, but it's funny. I really, when I really had a hard time saying yes to being a Pilates teacher because of this degree that I paid a lot of money for. I was like, well, I can't do that. What about this degree I had? The truth is that thank goodness for that college degree, because it actually got me out of my hometown. It got me into a different place. It got me meeting the right people along the way. I literally would not be living in the house I'm sitting in right now if it had not been for going to that Pilates class. And I wouldn't have been in that Pilates class had I not gone to that college. So yep. It just wouldn't have happened.
Yep. See, it all, even if you never ever use that degree, it led you to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to dive into YouTube because that's kind of where the story left off. So you started the YouTube, even though you were terrified, yeah. And that took off, right?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting. It's really funny. It's one of my clients is actually one of the like top attorneys for YouTube Music. And I was mentioning to her, I'm like, I'm not that big on YouTube, but I get paid every month. And she's like, you get paid every month? And I'm like, yeah, this is years ago. This was before the pandemic. And I was like, yeah. She's like, very few. Like if you take the percentage of people who actually get paid every month on YouTube, it's very small. You can go viral. You know, we met the guy who went viral for this Whole Foods parking lot video on YouTube. And, you know, his next video didn't go viral. And so like, yeah, he made really big, like got a lot of followers off of it. But like you have to be doing all the time to like get that kind of paycheck, right? So anyways, that led me to realize that like I'm actually bigger than I probably think. Like the vanity metrics are not the same as like the actual impact it's making. So this is really important if you're listening. Be mindful if you're getting sucked into the vanity metrics, like how many subscribers you have, how many followers you have, and really look at the impact it's leading to. Because even though my YouTube numbers at the time are not like millions of subscribers, they're still in the tens of thousands. And then we're actually diving in deep on YouTube this year. It's like our big push for ourselves and our company is like growing that reach, because every contract I was getting was from people watching me on YouTube. So I was doing something different. People were putting out free classes and I was putting out tutorials very quick. Here's the exercise. Here's how you do it. Here's how you want to look at it, and then moved on. So that way it was more like people could just search and learn instead of having to watch a 45-minute video on how to do something. It was like 5 minutes, very hit, like hot and quick. And people loved that. And then I would get hired to go to Australia. I would get hired to go to Brazil. So this is why I said like, don't worry about the vanity, because I don't have a million followers, and I'm making my entire living from people who found me on YouTube and are bringing me out.
Exactly. And you know what? We manage YouTube for some of our clients, and I really don't even care about followers and subscribers. Hello, Google owns YouTube, and that's all you need to know. Like we focus so heavily on like what the title of the video is, and also like the actual description and all the keywords that we're using. I am far more concerned about that than I am about how many people, you know, like we look at views and things like that. It's interesting to see like what content is moving forward more than others. But to me, like just the sheer SEO value of it is going to help you in the long run. But yeah. I talk about this all the time on podcasts, and people who listen to this are probably like, oh my God, she's a broken record. But our society has trained us so hard for instant gratification that working a YouTube channel for years and years to build something like you have, people don't have the patience for that anymore. They want it right now. And if I don't get a million followers and likes and blah, 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 then they throw their hands up in the air and say like, this doesn't work. She probably bought all those followers. No, she just stayed really freaking consistent.
We were putting out 3 videos a week. Consistently, I've never missed a single week since we started in 2015. And we may have started in late 2014. But at any rate, we put out 3 a week. We made sure, yes, the title is very much what people would Google. The description has a lot of information. And like, there's so much you can do with your descriptions. And then we actually were able to leverage our YouTube with our website so that we had organic SEO that brought our website up into the top 3 of the searches, but underneath the ads, which people know that the ads are at the top. So they often scroll down. And so we are with the big people who bought them their way to the SEO that they have there. And we got it there organically leveraging YouTube on our website.
So for the most powerful things that you've done for YouTube, if somebody's trying to grow their YouTube channel, what would you say?
So you have to be super consistent, like, and so just pick a cadence and stick with it. It doesn't have to be like a daily thing that you're doing. You got to pick a pace and stick with it. And then the other thing is like, make sure you look at the what's in your space currently and how can you be different. So if people are doing longer form in your space, do shorter form. If people are doing shorter form, try longer form. And then also it doesn't have to be that you're constantly giving away your magic for free. You know, for us, it would be like, for my world, it'd be like giving out classes all the time. We actually don't do that much. Oftentimes we're answering questions. I'm myth busting, right? So like right now, every app that you're seeing about Pilates is like wall Pilates. And they're like, look at this, us burn belly fat and everything. Like this is totally, all the Harrow stuff. I'm sure you look at this stuff, Whitney, for your people. Yeah. All the Harrows are like Pilates for like toning your arms, Pilates moves for losing weight. And it's like, that's actually not Pilates is for. And that fear-based marketing is like not, so I'm always replying like, that's not Pilates is for, here's what really does. Like, and I never get picked because they want to write the article on Pilates for belly fat loss or whatever. So I will do a YouTube video that's like literally myth busting. Like, here's the actual benefits of Pilates. And when you see people doing this, they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm. It's just so clickbait. Like,
mm-hmm. And so you can be the honest voice in your industry on YouTube, and that kind of stuff actually will get you views. So we might use the title that people are searching, like how to lose weight with Pilates. And then the actual answer is like, you can't. Let me tell you why. And so it's okay to kind of look what that is. You will have to do some research. And then what you also want to make sure you're doing is just make sure that you plan out a few months of content before you get started. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to like write the scripts or anything like that, but really do like get yourself a good picture so you know where you're going, and then trust that it takes time to build up. People are still watching the videos we put out when we first started with no tripod. So now you can't really get away with that. But we had no tripod back in the day. We had no microphone. Microphones were so expensive. Now you can get a microphone so easily, so cheap. You could do AirPods if you want to. But back then, no, we didn't have a microphone. We didn't have a tripod. We didn't have lighting. Brad would just hold the phone really still. And then I would yell. And then we would go, oh, an ambulance went by. Well, let's pause. Let the ambulance go by. Do it. And you know what? People love it. And also like, you're not going to probably like the content that you're putting out there in the beginning, because we're our own worst critics. So I had to really stop watching the content we were putting out there and just let the team edit it and let them put it out there. And that helped, because once you saw the comments, we're like, oh my gosh, this really answered the question I was looking for. This is so helpful. You start to go, oh, okay, I'm actually better than what I'm giving myself credit for.
Yeah. And people don't care that my makeup isn't perfect or that I haven't washed my hair in 4 days. Like, they don't. You're preaching to the choir. You actually used to host a show through a media company called Get the Coast. And I watched the first episode and literally wanted to crawl into a hole and cry. And after that, I just never watched the show ever again. I just knew I wasn't as bad as I made myself feel. And so I just like stopped, and I stopped watching it. I stopped caring. I just kept saying like, I trust you guys, like take it and make it awesome. But we struggle with that with our clients too, because we're encouraging them to do video content and they are horrified about getting in front of a camera and they want a script. And I tell them that's the worst thing you can do, is when you're an expert at something, you just need to talk and share from your knowledge. Like when you try to script it, it comes off so much as like, hi, my name is Jesse, and today we're going to talk about skincare. Like,
you can totally tell a podcast where someone is reading versus having a conversation, right? Like there are podcasts out there where they clearly script the podcast. Now, obviously there's scripted content out there now, but the actors are very good at making it sound like a story that's exciting. But when I hear like a business podcast or like a self-help podcast where I can tell that they are just reading their thing, it falls flat. So here is some tips for y'all who are trying to do video form. So, okay, again, pay attention to the little people that, not the little people that are small humans, but like pay attention to the little gems that are being dropped in your journey. So I had this, so I was randomly transferred before I quit working for another company and working for myself back in like 2015, around the same time I was launching YouTube. This woman came up to me and she's like, hey, I think you'd be great for commercials. Do you have a commercial agent? I can get you one. So this is like that weird, like you hear about this stuff happening to Tyra Banks, but you don't think it happens anymore. So it does. I got a commercial agent and a modeling agent in the same week by just because someone saw me at the gym. And I had no desire to do either, because to be honest, this is the weird world that we lived in back then. I was never skinny enough for modeling, and I was never heavy enough for commercials. Like, I was kind of in between. They want you a little bit more fuller for commercials. They want you beyond unhealthy skinny for modeling, right? So at any rate, I didn't help anyone out, but I went to one class and it saved me for, and then this is why I can do video. So here's the deal. You're going to take a Post-it and you're gonna put it somewhere in your office or in your house. And you are gonna put that Post-it there, and then you are going to do your chores or your daily tasks, and you're gonna tell a story while looking at the Post-it. So if you're making your bed in the morning, I want you to put the Post-it across the room. I want you to make the bed and tell a story, tell the Post-it like what your schedule is like that day. Tell the Post-it what you're excited about, but look at the Post-it. So if you watch commercials, you will see they're sweeping, but they're looking at you who's watching the commercial, right? They're like driving the car, but they're looking at you. So if you can get really good at looking at a Post-it, then what you just do is wherever you're filming in your office, you're doing something, you don't want a script, you need some really good questions that get you talking, and then have them put a Post-it where the camera dot is, not covering it, but like near it, so you can look at the Post-it. The Post-it becomes like your friend. This is the audience you're talking to. And when you do that, you actually become really human. You're more vulnerable and people will pay attention to you.
Interesting. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I got it from my commercial acting guy, and it never got me any commercials after I took that acting class. I got them all before I took the acting class, but afterwards it helped with my online teaching.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. And you know, I like legitimately see people, they are holding themselves back in business because they refuse to just talk on camera. Like their following isn't growing, and they're scratching their head and they're looking at us saying like, well, what you're doing isn't working. And I'm like, you're right, because it's missing you. It's missing you. You've got to get past this like fear of being seen and just freaking go for it. And the beautiful thing is like now, even if you look on people's like Instagrams and stuff, like these highly curated pages of perfection is not where it's at. Like people identify with real and realistic and like mess ups. And, you know, we posted something 2 weeks ago from a podcast episode, and it was such a good, what the guest was saying. It was a girl, it was Jessica Papineau from Customized Styling by Jessica. So Jessica's talking, and in the middle of her talking, I sneezed. And we still posted it because it was just so freaking perfect. What she was saying was so valid that it was like, we weren't going to lose that moment because I sneezed. Hello, everyone sneezes. Like,
yeah. Whitney, you're a genius. I think people need to hear that all the time. Like people are there are people out there who are looking for people who have mistakes. Like, I've sold 2,000 matte decks, 2,000 matte decks. So matte decks, they're flashcards, supplies, flashcards, 2,000 of them. Yesterday, someone DM'd me, oh no, there's a mistake. One person of 2,000 people out of all the editors that I had, no one has caught that I spelled circles wrong on one card. One card, I spelled the word circles wrong. It's in the title. Like it's of course I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't devalue the entire deck. It actually doesn't even devalue that card, and I'll fix it for the next reprint. But like, what am I going to, you know, like recall all of them? No, like it doesn't. We think that like, if the more perfect everything is, then people will like us. That's actually not true. Like I really truly get so concerned when people are like, when the house is like all white with white carpet, I'm like, are my clothes like clean enough to like enter this house? Like, are my socks clean enough after I take them out of my shoes to walk on this carpet? Like, am I going to nobody actually relaxes around perfection. And so people truly love it when you're an actual human being, and you, the business owner who's barely ever done any camera work, just telling people, here's why you need to buy this thing and here's how it's going to help you. That's all they want to know. How does what your thing solve the problem I have? That's all they care about. They don't care if your bangs need a trim or if you like didn't put on all the makeup today. They don't care.
Yeah, true that, sis. So the YouTube channel helped you start getting like international gigs. So yeah. Like, I know just recently you went to Korea, you've been to Australia, like all these places, like they found you on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Everything is from YouTube.
Oh my God. So then tell me a little bit about, and I see clients like making this mistake all the time. They're doing all these amazing things. You're going to Korea, you're going to Australia. When you're there, how do you like maximize the opportunity? Like, how do you stay connected with those people or find a way, like, you know, how do you maximize the opportunity when you're like abroad for these projects?
Yeah. So first of all, it like having a goal of what the project is and then what, like, what's like the, what would be like the least big thing. Right. So like for us, it's like when we're there, obviously either making relationships to get to be brought back is like the most important thing, but at the very least you'll follow me on something. Right. So like Brad was there, and if people were like chatting with me, but they weren't buying the flashcards, he's like, hey, do you have Instagram? Follow her on Instagram. So like the very least we had that, but here's what I always do. So I will, and this goes back to being seen, everyone, I will take selfies with them with their phone. And I say, please tag me when you post this. Yeah. And so then when they tag me, I can actually respond back and I can start the conversation in the DMs of like, it was so lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming to this workshop. And I would ask a question. How are you using the material? Like, what was your favorite part? What is this? And so, yes, that becomes, it's a lot of extra work. But I'm at an airport waiting to go home. Like, you know, what else are you going to do? Play a video game? So when, by doing that, you can build the relationships. The easiest thing to also do. So at one event, what we did was I taught a class, and everybody wants to know, like, everybody has a notepad because they want to write down the class that I taught. Mm-hmm. So instead of having them write notes, I tell them, you don't have to write anything down. Actually, when you leave this room, there's going to be a QR code. You'll hit it and it will give you the entire list of all the exercises I taught in this class. So you can actually be present, be in this moment, scan that on the way out. You get that whole thing. So of course, what do we get when they scan it? Their email. And what do we know? They went to that class for that thing. And so then I can actually follow up with them that way. So you don't always have to be like hard selling. Some things can be just like light selling and providing the value I know that they want. So for me, I know what they're coming for. So I can actually just put that in a pretty package for them and then make that work. Other events, when they hire me, I'm always off they out on handouts. So on the handouts, I put an extra bonus thing to the course that I'm teaching that's free. So again, because oftentimes when I do these events, I don't get the emails, right? Like, they sold the event, I'm a speaker at it. I'm not getting anything out of it other than the payment for showing up. So I will put a lead magnet on the handout that I'm giving them that gives them extra value, extra material for free, so I can get those people who are really interested.
Yeah, that's a great point that you're like maximizing all these opportunities, because what we see is that our clients sometimes are so focused on getting on the podcast or getting to the event or getting the invite to be a speaker. And then they don't even worry about the last final like call to action or way to get their email. Like, to me, that's the biggest opportunity of all. You know, you getting on the podcast is cool and you'll get great exposure from that or whatever. By the tech side of it, kind of the case may be going to the event and having a booth there. That's cool. But if you can't re-reach these people, you have like missed out on the biggest opportunity. And I don't know if it's like over people that are overwhelmed, like what you were saying, like scan this QR code, we get your email, you get emailed, you know, the list of the class or whatever. I don't know if people get overwhelmed by the tech side or they don't, their brains don't think that way, but I'm like, don't miss out on that last opportunity. Getting on the show isn't the end game.
Well, you're 100% correct. And it is overwhelming. I also think people don't understand that everything is relationship building. Just because you put business next to what you do doesn't actually take that away. Like, for me, everything is goes back to dating. And like, I was pretty much in the dating world before apps. They were actually around, like Tinder was around when I was single again, but I refused to get on that. I was like, what is this thing? But so I was like, I'm going to meet someone the old fashioned way, which I did. But let's just go back to how dating used to be pre-apps. If you were at a bar and somebody came up to you and just tried to start kissing you at the bar, you would like slap them. You would shove them off. You're like, what the, this person's an asshole. But if they're like, oh, hey, I like your shirt. And then they're like, what do you do? And you start like doing this little game of tennis where like they throw you a question, you throw one back, and then like they ask you out for dinner, you're like, oh, I'm probably interested in this person. It's the same thing in business. In business, you can go buy my stuff. It can't be like, hire me for this gig. It has to be like, hey, here's something I do. Do you like it? Oh, you like that? Well, what's your question? Okay. And then you just go, you volley it back and forth. You build the relationship. And yeah, it sucks. If you need money right now, that sucks. But the truth is that the business you'll build, if you actually do it as a long game, as a relationship building game, if you do it that way, if you build your email list, you guys, this is like so, so key. Even though I was doing stuff on YouTube, you think that there wasn't a freebie in the description? Yes, there is. Why? Because I want them off of YouTube. I want them in my inbox. And to this day, my open rate is over 50%. I email my list multiple times a week. I don't always sell to them, but people follow along, and some people sign up for things in 6 months and some people take them 6 years. It doesn't matter. It's not my job to worry about when they buy. It's just my job to build that relationship and be there for them. So yes, it's overwhelming, but the tech side is so much easier today. Holy freaking moly. If I started my business today, all the help you have, you don't even need human beings for the longest time. I had to hire all these people. You can edit stuff now so much easier than back in the day.
Oh my God, yes. Even like I have a mentor, she's probably like 75, but she had her own agency like in the 70s, okay? And like what she would explain to me about how they would like take the little letters out and like press them onto the paper and then take that to the courier or whatever. And I was like, I just like mentally blown away. At like, and then they would like get newspapers and like cut out the newspaper clipping as proof of press. I'm like, oh my God, that was her real life. That was her real life. And now we are so freaking spoiled by just like, oh yeah, I got a Google alert. Thanks. You know, or like all these softwares that pull this stuff for us. Like, God bless. We are so spoiled. So anybody, so spoiled. I mean,
Brad just found the other day, because I want to do this thing that you and I are like BBG has taught us. And I was like, yeah, but I don't like the way that things are edited from horizontal to look vertical. It doesn't look right. So I just want three camera lenses. So Brad and I found three phones and we like put them together so that the camera lenses could be together so that I could just look
in one spot.
In one spot, and they could make a vertical and a horizontal, and I can go live. And he's like, Leslie, here's this app where it will actually make your eyes make it look like it's making eye contact. So even for those of you who are like, Leslie, I'm never going to do that idea you had about practicing to look at a dot, there is an app for that. So it's so much easier today to start a business and be, you don't have to be at all tech savvy. You just have to know your weaknesses and know your strengths. And that is like, and then keep going and just keep going one foot in front of the other. Like it is really crazy how compounding it gets. I didn't start off teaching internationally, but once I got one gig, all of a sudden people saw that. And then I got another one. So pre-pandemic, I was doing at least 8 countries a year, 150,000 miles and flying a year, you know, and now after the pandemic, I do have rules. I'm like 4 places. And as long as I can have a vacation when I go.
Yeah. Heck yeah, girl. You're probably like super diamond status on Delta, aren't you? I'm so jealous. I'm so freaking jealous.
We have a lot of fun. We spend a lot of time. I'll tell you, I do know which airlines I will fly and which ones I won't after all this travel. I'm like, we won't be doing that one. I'll take the longer flight over here.
Yep. Yep. Well, what you said makes so much sense. Actually, so I was at the BBG event. For anybody listening, we call Brand Builders Group BBG. So I was at the BBG conference Thursday and Friday last week in Nashville, and somebody said something. So like one person raised their hand and they were like giving feedback from the first day, and they were like, oh my God, this was so great. But you know what? Every time I come to these events, I feel so inspired, but then I also feel so confused because I get advice and I get so many ideas from so many different angles that I feel, I start second guessing like the direction I'm heading and what I should be doing. And then I almost feel less clear when I leave here because of the abundance of ideas, which isn't it's like a good problem to have, right? This abundance of ideas and feedback has caused me to question everything I'm doing. Somebody else in the group like raised their hand. And so she was like, now I just feel like I need to go home and I need to like really think on and get some clarity about which direction I need to go. Somebody else in the group raises their hand and said, hey sis, listen, clarity isn't gonna just come to you. You don't just like sit down, and maybe you do. Maybe you do meditate every day, and during meditation, you get some ounce of clarity, okay? But 90% of the time, clarity comes by action. Yes. You start doing something and you're like, oh, this is it. Or you start doing something and you're like, oh, this could be it, but I need to change just a little bit and head this direction. Or you, that might give you the clarity you need of like, oh yeah, you know what? This ain't it. I don't want to do this anymore. Or this isn't bringing me my results. So I just thought that was so powerful of like, clarity doesn't just come to you. 90% of the time, clarity comes from taking action and then course correcting or taking action. And that leads you to something bigger, you know?
Yeah. On my podcast, we actually say that, action is the antidote to fear and clarity comes from action. So you actually just have to take a step and it's, you know, and then you will have the fear dissipates because you actually see like you didn't die. The worst thing, like, did every single comment come in with like happy glitter unicorn rainbows? No, but you also didn't happen any comments. Like the first videos didn't get any comment. Why? No one was following me.
Yeah.
So there isn't anyone to hate on it. And then when I did get a negative comment, it actually made them look ridiculous. But like, so the clarity of like what the channel should be, the clarity of like what OPC was or what my business coaching was didn't come because I sat and waited. Mm-hmm. The people who said that was so right. It came from like, I took a step. I got feedback. I heard people have questions. I heard where I wasn't as clear. I heard where I could be better. And then we made more things. And now everything that we do is based on the clarity we got, the action we took. And then here's one more thing for that person who, and maybe a listener right now is like, I feel the same way after I listen to these podcasts. If you don't know what your values are, you don't have a filter. So if you can actually get really clear what your values are for your business, or your values are for yourself, which they're probably very similar, you can actually take. So when I've been to those events where like all this advice is coming of what I could do, what should I do with my business, I can go, well, I'm not going to do that because that's against this value right here. So I love it. It's a valid idea. It's a great idea. They're not wrong. It doesn't align with this value I have. And unless I'm shifting my values, I'm not doing that. Now, if that thing could have a different angle at it, so it's in line with my values, then I could do it. So, you know, it's hard to be overwhelmed with ideas, but you have to take a step.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And then I just felt that so hard for me. I was like, man, they're talking to me. Okay, I've got one last quick question. I love asking every entrepreneur, business owner that comes on the show this question. Every business owner during their career, they reach a moment, something happens or whatever, where they're just like, screw it. This is not for me anymore. Like maybe this is just the end of the road. Maybe this, I always knew this day was going to come. I knew this wasn't going to work out. It's all falling apart and I just need to go get a job being a door greeter at Walmart, you know, like whatever the case may be. Do you have a moment like that in your career?
Yeah. Right before I got married, I was still, so I had my own business. I mean, my own coaching business was already going. I was teaching Pilates on the side and already starting to travel. I had a retreat, stuff, ideas happening, but I was still working for this high-end fitness company. So I switched from retail to this high-end fitness company to get that salary job. So I had my side hustle stuff that was going, but it wasn't, I didn't even give it the time to offset the cost of the money I was making from the other business. But I was driving my car. I had this opportunity to go buy any dress I wanted at Bloomingdale's. And like for this thing, I could just buy anything. And I had a panic attack in the car on the way. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me right now? Here I am with this opportunity to buy anything on a day off. And I literally, like, an email from work came across my phone and I just like had to pull the car over and lost my mind. And my husband, at the time we were still engaged, he's like, let's go to our favorite coffee shop. Let's sit down and let's just see like what we can get rid of. And it took me a bit to calm down. That wasn't like the magic words. but I went to the favorite coffee shop. I ordered the overpriced matcha latte with mint juice. It was so good. You guys, it tastes like an Andes mint. We sat down. We realized that I could give up this other thing over here if I just got 6 private clients who came 2 times a week. So I had to know my numbers that I can make this leap. Now, was it the thing that made everything take off? No, for sure did not. However, here's what happened. There's another moment. So 2 years later, I had another moment where I'm on the floor, like just exhausted because I just went from overworking myself for somebody else to overworking my own self. And Brad said to me, I think this is an amazing thing anyone can do for themselves. Well, what if you just quit? Like, what if you just quit? What if you just do it? Like, how would that make you feel? And it was so funny. That didn't make me feel better. That like, just that, that the truth that I could just quit. And it made me fight for what I wanted. Mm. And in fighting for it, I realized like what I cared about. And then I was able to go, well, this isn't working because I'm not doing that. I'm not showing up in the world with this fighting mentality. I'm showing up like people should want to buy this. They need to buy this. And instead I'm not telling them, I'm not fighting for them to have it. So those two times of like, I'm just going to quit, everything can go, knowing my numbers and then knowing why I cared so deeply about something allowed me to hit every wall that I've ever hit and just like keep going, you know, yep. Because I'm very clear that I can make it work. And I just have to like figure out how to get people to know that what I have is there to help them.
Yeah. And you're so right about like the energy that you come, not to get all woo woo on everybody, but like I'm so believe that like the energy that you come with, like, I need you to buy this, or you need you to buy this, you know, yeah. Like, or you need, oh, this. Yeah. You don't even have to say you need to buy this. It's just like, I don't need you to buy anything from me, but this will help you. And I know it will. So take it or leave it, you know, having that sort of like detachment, is so powerful in the sales process. And I think I don't like doing sales. I don't, it is fun when we close the deal. I don't like it. But I definitely have recognized that I've been successful because I have that energy of like, it's okay if you don't want to buy this, but I know it'll help you. So,
you know, here's the thing, Whitney, like, but you're also super clear. And this is where they're not selling, y'all. If you are so clear on whatever your service or product or offering is going to do with someone's life, you show up like it is like, I actually feel bad for you if you don't buy it. Like I do. Like if you don't take Pilates with me, that's fine. I hope you take it with somebody who's actually legitimate. But like, I know that what I'm offering you is a chance to live a better life. And so it's actually sad to me that you won't give yourself permission to have the life that you want to have because I've given you the strength and the movement to do it. You know, so when you're that clear on like how what your service does, like Whitney, what you do is like really make sure that brands who actually help people get in front of the right people so they can have the right awareness, right? So you can sit in there going, I actually do, like, if you don't work with us, like, I hope you work with someone but I know if you work with me, I'm going to make sure that like the right people hear about how awesome you are. And then the domino effect is everyone wins. And so that's not selling, right? Because it's like, you need you to buy this. Yep. You said it the best way.
You need you to buy it. So
yeah.
Well, cool. Well, Leslie, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Tell everybody if they want to connect with you or if they want to learn about Pilates, tell them all the things.
Yeah. So, obviously you can go to, it's just youtube.com. You guys at onlinepilatesclasses.com is the YouTube thing. If you really want to learn some videos, if you go to onlinepilatesclasses.com, all the socials are there. We actually, you know what? I'm make this really fun. We have an app. It's free and you can listen to the podcast. You can connect me on socials and you can actually get free Pilates stuff all on that. So, this is a brand new thing. That's why it's not warmed up in my sales pitch to you, but, go to your app store, wherever that is on your tablet, your phone, type in onlinepilatesclasses.com. You'll see the bright yellow thing. And then all that stuff is right there.
Very cool. And I just knew I had this in the cabinet above my desk. Boom. Deck. So,
oh, the flashcards, you can get the, yes. So those are, you guys, you can get them on Amazon if you are like a Prime member and you don't want to pay for shipping, but you can get them from me as well. They are, we'll have them for each piece of Pilates equipment, but the mat one is the one that like, you don't have to be a member of mine to use it. Every single card has the exercise information on the back. If you want to scan the QR code to go to the video, you can. And there's a lot of good information, but mat Pilates is actually the hardest Pilates that's out there. Do not ever think that it's the easiest one and that the equipment is hard. The equipment is making it easier for you. But if you're like, I'm scared of hard, there are pre-Pilates exercises in there to work your way up to all the other stuff. And it is a journey and it's the thing that has changed my life. And I hope it changes yours.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. Thank you. I love the deck. I'm so excited. I need to get on that, especially after all this travel as of late. So anyway, awesome. Well, Leslie, thank you for taking time to come on the show. Everybody make sure to go check out her podcast as well. Be it till you see it. Oh, yeah, I try to screw that up really soon. Yes. All right. Well, have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.